Welcome to KNEO Radio Podcast. KNEO Radio AM and FM Radio Podcast covering the heart of Texas and the Northwest Hill Country, including McCullough, Mason, Menard, Concho, San Saba, and portions of Brown and Llano counties. KNEO Radio is your podcast to hear interviews with special guests, local news, events, agriculture, and community affairs. For more KNEO Podcast, visit KNEOradio.com. KNEO Radio Podcast, making a difference.
And good morning. Welcome into the morning program here on KNEO. The morning program brought to you by Mason Building Supply and Rental. Mason Building Supply, our sponsor for the morning program here on KNEO. That is the place to go. This is the time of year. Yesterday was the first day of spring. Things are going. Things are getting growing. And all of the focus on getting the plants in and getting the vegetables planted, well, the place to be is the Mason Building Supply and Rental. They're going to take care of you. Well, this morning we have a special guest with us this morning, and that is Jenny Cudd, who is describes herself as a January 6th defendant. And good morning to you, and welcome into KNEO.
Hey, Patriots. Thank you for having me.
And you are a native of Texas. You live in what part of Texas?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised in Lubbock, and then I've lived in Midland for about the last 15 years.
Is that right? Out there, I've been to Midland.
There's not much out
there's
there.
There's not much out
there. It's a lot prettier down here.
still, it was very, they were very congenial and personable and nice folks when I visited Midland, but it's a different.
Yes, there's just not much to look at.
Well, people say the same thing about around here, so we're all together. So you are, you spoke last night with to the group of the McCullough County or Texas Republicans, the Republican organization. You talked about your experiences as you describe it, a January 6th defendant. Of course, January 6th refers to all of the stuff that went on January 6th of 2021 in Washington.
Yes, sir.
And that came out of that. So how did you get involved in that? How did you come to be a January 6th defendant?
Well, I've been involved in politics since I was a child. My first protest was when I was 5 years old, outside of the Planned Parenthood in Lubbock. And so I've always been politically active and wound up going to Washington, D.C. on January 6th to support President Trump and to fight for free and fair elections because I believe that the election was stolen. And so what wound up happening on January 6th was after President Trump spoke, then we all made our way down to the Capitol. And I wound up going inside the Capitol through the West Terrace door, which had been opened by the police, and they were gesturing people inside. And so I went inside the Capitol along with about 2,000 other people and was inside for 19 minutes. I've since figured out that that cost me $4,000 a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then went, of course, I didn't destroy any property or hurt anybody, anything like that. And then I went out the back side of the Capitol, the east side, after I was in a hallway above where Ashley Babbitt had been murdered. And people were coming out with blood on their hands and saying, they killed a girl, they killed a girl. And that's when I thought, it's probably time I get out of here. And so I also walked past police officers going out, just like I had coming in. And then I wound up making a 27-minute long Facebook Live video that night. And somebody took a one-minute clip out of it and put it on Twitter. And that went viral and got 7 million views in a matter of 2 days. And a week later, I was arrested at my flower shop by 8 Midland police officers in tactical gear carrying long arms and 2 attack dogs. And the police took me to the FBI, who took me to the U.S. Marshals, who got me in front of a judge, and the judge released me on a personal recognizance bond. I was ultimately charged with 4 misdemeanors and 1 felony. The felony was for corruptly obstructing an official government proceeding before Congress. And that felony specifically has been applied to the vast majority of January 6th defendants. Mm-hmm. And it was created as a result of Enron. And it only has to do with witness tampering and document tampering. It doesn't actually have anything to do with obstructing an official government proceeding, but they have used that for the vast majority of us. In October of 21, I was offered a plea deal by the government. Excuse me. and took the plea deal, which was for a Class A misdemeanor for trespassing, which in my opinion is what the vast majority of January 6 people should be charged with, is just trespassing. And I was ultimately, ultimately sentenced last March to 2 months probation and a $5,000 fine. And so what I have done for the last year is go around to different groups, any group that'll invite me, whether it's a Republican group or a conservative group, Tea Party group, any of those things, to speak about my experience on January 6th and, more importantly, what's going on with the political prisoners in Washington, D.C.
Well, that is an interesting aspect because, as you said, you were charged, but basically, ultimately, with your plea deal on a misdemeanor. There are a number of people you hear stories about, watching the media, about people who are in jail in Washington and have been there for the entire 2 years.
Yes, pre-trial.
And haven't been to trial yet. They're just there.
So right now, there have been over 1,050 people, Americans, that have been charged and arrested for January 6th. Mm-hmm. And they say that they're going to charge another 1,000 Americans. And there's over 150 people, men and women, that are currently incarcerated. About 85 of them are being held pretrial for over 2 years, for 800 days. These people have been incarcerated pretrial, so they have not had their day in court. They have not been convicted of anything. And one of the reasons why the DOJ can justify keeping these people in pretrial for so long is because a lot of them are veterans or former law enforcement. And so the DOJ says that because of their specialized training, they're considered a threat to society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are men and women who on January 5th were considered American heroes, who have served our country honorably for over 20 years. Several of them retired from the military. I've got a family of military men. And then on January 6th, because of how this was portrayed by the media, they are now considered domestic terrorists, threat to society, and all the other extreme words that I'm sure people have heard used.
You have a book with you.
I do. I brought a book today. It's called The American Gulag Chronicles, Letters from Prison.
Mm-hmm.
And this book was put together by the mother of a January 6th defendant and several different people that just support getting this information out. And it is full of letters written by the January 6th political prisoners and drawings and illustrations, Bible verses, all kinds of things. That these are actual letters that came from the people that are currently being incarcerated. And there's actually two of these letters in here that were written to my husband. And it's a fantastic book. You can go on their website, theamericangulagchronicles.com. and order a book. They're $45, and 100% of the proceeds goes to actually help the January 6th defendants.
Okay. Well, as you said, there are about 1,000 people have already been charged with something.
Yes, sir.
At various levels. Are most of them the kind of charge that you had against you?
I have the most common charges.
Okay.
So the four misdemeanors and the obstruction felony are
right.
The most common charges. Of course, they have charged people all the way up to seditious conspiracy, which is something that has not been charged or convicted in our country for over 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, D.C. has a 100% conviction rate, which is very concerning. It's not exactly a jury of your peers if you're a conservative person or somebody that supports President Trump. And they refuse to transfer any of the January 6 cases, no matter how minor they may be, out of D.C. They will not transfer them to any other jurisdiction. And so you can imagine that the jury pool in D.C. is pretty biased. Most of the potential jurors work in politics anyway, And they've certainly been affected the most by what happened after January 6th with all of the fencing going up around the Capitol and streets being blocked and all of that. And there are people that are volunteering to be on juries and that are excited to be on juries because they want to convict anybody that was there on January 6th.
Yeah. The you know, the statistics you hear is that, what, 80% or more higher of the vote in the last election went for Biden, not Trump. And so that's
96%.
96%.
Yes, sir.
And the courts have a reputation of being extraordinarily liberal.
Yes.
No question about it. And so it's understandable why they're, if you're interested in that point of view, that none of the things have been moved out of Washington, because there's it's all a sort of stacked deck, what somebody would say.
It absolutely is a stacked deck. And I appreciate anybody that's willing to fight their charges and take it all the way to trial, because as Americans, we've been led to believe that you will have a fair justice system that will be applied equally regardless of race, color, creed, sex, gender, any of those things.
Also, the idea to get your day in court, and that's what is very disturbing about people who have been in jail for 2 years without a day in court.
Yes, sir. And absolutely.
That really bothers you.
And because they're January 6th defendants, the political prisoners that are specifically in the D.C. jail, which is referred to as the D.C. gulag, are treated horribly. Their food, basically the only way that they can get any decent food is for them to have to purchase it through their commissary, which in my opinion is a form of extortion, because the food that they are given in the prison as January 6th defendants has been tainted with in some way, whether it's bleach, whether it's urine, mouse droppings, roaches. All kinds of different things have happened to their food. And so in order for them to get a pack of noodles or an apple or something like that, they actually have to purchase it themselves through commissary. And one of the things that I always like to mention is, regardless of what it is that you believe about January 6th and what happened that day, A, I encourage you to educate yourself and to go and actually watch the videos and read the court documents, things like that, as opposed to just listening to headlines or just listening to what I'm saying. But another thing is, most of the people that have been arrested are men, our husbands, our fathers, and usually the breadwinner in the family. And so all of them that had their own business, the vast majority of them have lost their own business. Their wives have been forced to sell their homes in hopes of being able to hire a decent lawyer. And I can't imagine being a wife and a mother telling my kids that dad went somewhere yesterday to stand up for what he believes in for our country, and he's never coming home. And those women have not, that I personally know a lady who has not been able to see her husband, who has been incarcerated for over 2 years now, pre-trial, for 2 years. She has seen him one time in 2 years because the D.C. jail will refuse any type of visitation with family members. They're also not given medical treatment. There's been several January 6th defendants incarcerated who have cancer or celiac disease or kidney problems, and the D.C. jail will refuse to give them medical treatment. All of this is illegal, and I understand that, but nothing is being done to stop the illegal treatment of the political prisoners. There's actually a letter that 35 prisoners signed on to asking to be transferred to Guantanamo Bay because they believe that they would receive better treatment at Guantanamo than they do at this D.C. jail.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
So at least in Guantanamo, you get to have religious services.
That's right.
Did you know that some of these January 6th defendants, once they were incarcerated pre-trial, that it took them over 6 months in order to get a Bible, but they were given a Quran on the first day?
Well, from your standpoint, you know, is there something that ordinary citizens across the country, you speak about this often, that you would encourage people to do?
Absolutely. And I am going to do a little plug here. If you go to jennycudd.com, I have a resource page.
Okay.
And I don't have a fundraiser or ask for anything for myself. I just link to the other websites that help January 6th defendants.
Okay.
So it's jennycudd.com. And one of the things that you can do is contact your representative. Now, I know who your representative is because he's also mine.
Yes.
And he has not done anything to help the January 6th defendants. That would be August Pfluger. But there are 434 other representatives that you can contact and 100 senators and ask them what they are doing to stop the mistreatment of the January 6th political prisoners or to ensure that justice is being applied fairly. So I would highly recommend contacting your representative every single day. And then the other thing is to write letters to these January 6th defendants, whether they are in prison or not in prison. There's a wonderful organization called the Patriot Mail Project, which is actually how this book wound up happening. Because the Patriot Mail Project has a filterable list on their website to where if you just want to write all the January 6th defendants from Texas, which there's 107 of us, or just the ones that are incarcerated or just the veterans, whatever it is that interests you, then you can find that information out.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys that are still locked up talk about these letters when they call into different radio shows and different programs. And they cry every single time talking about the letters because it is their only reminder that there are still people out here. Even if I disagree with what you did, you're still a human being. You're still an American. You're still a veteran. You're still a patriot in my eyes. And so there's a lot of people that just write them and say, I'm praying for you, and here's some Bible verses, or just tell them a story, whatever it is. And a lot of these political prisoners will write back. I've received several letters back from writing them. I have a new pen pal right now. His name's Lonnie Kaufman. He's 78 years old. And he is a Vietnam veteran, which is especially near and dear to my heart because my dad and my uncle were both in Vietnam. And Lonnie Kaufman never even went to the Capitol on January 6th. And he was one of the first people convicted. And he was sentenced to either 4 or 5 years, so it was somewhere in between the two, worth of prison. It's a 78-year-old man who has already suffered the horrible things that our country did to him after Vietnam that you can never take back,
mm-hmm.
and now has been caught up in all of this. And so I wrote Lonnie a letter about a month ago, and it's uncomfortable because you don't know what to say. And I'm educated on January 6th, and I was there on January 6th, and I still don't know what to say to somebody that is experiencing what he is. And so I just talked a little bit about my dad and my uncle's service in the Army and what has happened with my case and just a little one-page letter. And I sent it off to him, and he wrote me back right away, 3 handwritten pages. And so now he's my pen pal. And so we'll write back and forth to each other. But that's a great way for people to get involved, is to write letters to the political prisoners.
Again, website, Facebook page?
Website is jennycudd.com.
Okay.
And that's where I link to, you can purchase this book, The American Gulag Chronicles. You can go to Patriot Mail Project to write letters to the prisoners. I've also got links to their different fundraisers, legal mm-hmm. fundraisers, or just living expense fundraisers for their wives to be able to make the mortgage payment and, you know, keep the kids in school, different things like that. So I certainly hope that people will get involved. I think there's more and more people interested in learning the other side of the story now that it's been 2 years, and also because of some of the information that Tucker put out a couple weeks ago.
The videos that were released, and they say there's more to come.
Hope so, because he sure has gotten the squash put on him by the higher-ups at Fox News.
Yeah.
But there are supposedly 44,000 total hours, and that's not just Capitol security camera footage, but also body cam footage, and also all of our cell phones that they confiscated. And it's important to know that that footage is not available to the defendants, to people that are in court today. And there are a lot of things that are found in those videos that are exculpatory evidence, meaning it proves your innocence. And we actually have a constitutional right to this. But for some reason, none of those things seem to apply to January 6th defendants. I can tell you as somebody who went through the process. Yeah. And so the defendants that are literally fighting against charges that could send them to prison for life are not allowed to see these videos. And so I would highly encourage anybody to contact Speaker McCarthy, call his number in D.C., and ask him why he will not release this to the public, so that at least the January 6th defendants can use their own discovery that they have a right to in order to defend themselves.
That's a good question. Good thing to do. Well, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you for letting me come on.
You're quite welcome. It's a fascinating story and disturbing in many respects for our folks to realize what is going on.
Yes, sir.
And to have an idea about that. So we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Jenny Cudd with us this morning here on KNEL. We'll be back with more here on the morning program in just a moment.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.